All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is No Sense.
And Victoria.
And we have a special guest, John in the house, a.k.a.
John the Baptist.
And so he is bringing something different. He's a Scorpio. So anything you want to say about yourself, John?
No, I just want to say thank both of you guys for having me on the show today. I heard a couple of your episodes, really good stuff, from your guests to your content to just... your transition into like each different segment. So I'm excited to be here and excited to kind of bring a different perspective on the topics today. So thanks.
All right, that's what's up. And remember to like and subscribe. Also, we are on Apple now, so you can rate us and, of course, share and tell your friends about us. All right, so we're going to jump right into the two cents. And y'all know this is like our little bit that we go off on a rant, a little tangent. So, Victoria, you up first.
Okay, so last, what, so I don't know. Days are, what is time? So, but Beyonce and Meg Thee Stallion did the Savage remix sometime last week. And the internet stopped, per usual, when it comes to Beyonce. I'm excited. I am like floored. I love the album, the song. Don't start with me.
I didn't say anything.
You look like you wanted to say something.
I was thinking about if they came out with an album.
Oh, that would be so dope. But I doubt it. But no, nobody really needs all of that.
No.
But we do need a chopped and screwed version of Savage. Now that shit would be fucking hard. You don't think so?
I didn't like the original song.
This is my two cents. Anyway, so what's dope about the song is that all of the proceeds are going to Bread of Life in Houston. People always talking about how Beyonce doesn't do this and that, but like when it comes to being good, no pun intended. Actually, the pun was intended. being good, get it? Be good, be Beyonce.
Oh,
being good, yeah. no, she has a nonprofit called Be Good. Anyway, yeah, the way she, I don't know, she just impacts the culture. I think she did fantastic. I hate when people. No, I'm not even addressing the fucking haters, including you. No sense. But yeah,
I just hate the song. I don't hate Beyonce.
Beyonce can't do any wrong. Okay. I'm okay, like CEO. I'm CEO of the Beehive. I approve the message, and Beyonce and May keep.
Bro, and girl May, power. She a top five responsible hoe, right?
She was our number one responsible hoe. So you know,
And Jay-Z was on the irresponsible.
Yes, Jay-Z was definitely on the irresponsible hoe for cheating on Beyonce. Because fuck you mean.
See, so we got a link in with Centaur Views.
Right. So, but yeah, I think it was a good look for Meg because she's a new artist. She's only been out for like 2 years.
And a Beyonce cosign is...
She got a Jay-Z and a Beyonce cosign, so...
What did Jay-Z do?
She's on Roc Nation.
Oh, yeah. That's right. When all the legal stuff came out, yeah.
Yeah, so I think she's going straight to the top. Yeah. That's it. All right. John the Baptist, your two cents.
So my two cents is nothing is real. So with all this, everything that's going on, and even outside of that, what is placed in front of us is placed in front of us for a reason. And I feel like a lot of people don't understand like what it really is. So when people say like, oh, well, you know, at your job, let's take your job, for instance. Mm-hmm. They say, hey, you know, you're doing a good job. We appreciate you a lot. But at the end of the day, they really don't appreciate you.
You ain't lying, bro.
A business. So if you die tomorrow, we'll just replace you with somebody else. And then on the flip side, we think about, you know, this whole corona thing and, like, what's going on. We only we're only allowed to see what they let us see. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they'll put all these numbers and they'll put all these people up, but are these people really real? Are these people like, are these numbers really real? And so it's really hard to decipher through a lot of the bullshit and then try to like raise families or like go about your business in a time like this. So nothing is real.
Nothing. I like that. Nothing is real. Like I said, time, I don't even know what day it is. Like, I don't, you know.
My two cents is personal.
Aren't they always? Sorry.
I only care about myself. But not, it's about these battles that people are doing. And I actually got invited to a joke-for-joke battle online. And, like, don't look for me. Like, I'm not going to do that. Simply.
Because you're a Sagittarius and you're just going to be contrary?
No. Because I've talked to other people and they agree with me. I talked to other comedians. And comedy is different from any type of... No, it's different from any type of entertainment as far as you can't copyright a joke. Stuff, yeah. True. You know, Teddy Riley and Babyface, they can battle, but that's their stuff. Nobody else can use that. If I go and I tell a joke online and somebody else takes it and they use it on stage before I get a chance to go back on stage, that's theirs now. Right. And I can't do anything about it because we don't copyright. We don't own our work. Right. So for me to go out there and give you my jokes that I wrote, I'm giving it away... The set, you know, if you go to a Kevin Hart show, he takes your phones because he's going to sell that.
Right.
And once that gets out, he's not going to tell those jokes. So if I'm giving out my jokes for free, what do I have to bring somebody in? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What leverage do I have for my show? And so any of my fellow comedians who are listening to that, you know, I especially for the newer ones, I applaud you for trying to put yourself out there. But please be mindful that not everybody is out for your best interest. You know, the person you could be battling could be taking your jokes. Right. Not to mention, if you're putting yourself out there, people are watching you. Right, right, right. So they may take your jokes. So just realize that's why Kevin Hart isn't coming out. That's why he's not going toe-to-toe with Cat Williams. Roasting, I can understand. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But to go and tell something that I wrote, that I put my heart and soul in, just for it to be available to the masses like that, I'm not willing to do that. Right. So,
and I feel like a lot of like the whole game as far as everything entertainment has changed because, like you said, like you could go on the internet, put it on there now, right? Somebody in California could steal your joke,
exactly.
Do a whole set and blow up, and then you see them on TV, like
like the little white girl that did the Renegade joke. This
motherfucker. Yo, I swear to God, I did a joke. Lil Duval did something, and I made a joke on it and added him in it. You know, he took me out and put it like it was his, and then it got retweeted by everybody else as his joke. But I'm saying, like, that's like the thing. Because your status is higher, your vision, you know, more people will see you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can't feed into that because I'm just giving fuel to another comedian.
Right. I mean, this is a side note, but I had tweeted that I want Beyonce and Meg to do a chopped and screw version of Savage. Please take my idea and make the music. Like, somebody, I'm not a producer. Somebody do it, please, because I really want to hear it. Is that it?
What was that? Somebody took that from you?
No, I want someone to take it from me.
Oh, so you just put that out there so somebody...
Yes, for my enjoyment. That's all. All
right, DJ, get on that. We need to make Vic happy.
Please.
All right, time for our main show. Our topic is religion? Christianity?
Father, are you listening?
Sky Daddy!
Sky Daddy.
Okay, so on this show... Stop it. On this show, we're actually going to talk about religion, how we all were brought up, how we grew in our path. And for a lot of... The reason we wanted to talk about it is we have a different perspective that we have now. In our 30s, not telling you exactly how old Victoria is.
I'm 32. I'm proud of my age.
All right, there we go. So 36 now. But just what we learned and what we went on our own journeys and found out for ourselves what's better. So this isn't to talk anybody out of what they believe in
This is no sense disclaimer. Y'all know how I feel.
But, you know, just because we want to have a discussion, it's a big issue in the black church to say, you know, what happened to our youth? Why can't we get them? And hopefully this will give you some kind of perspective or insight into that. So we're going to get right into it. So first, we're going to talk about, like, our upbringing. So what was your religious upbringing, Vic?
So I grew up United Methodist. Really? You were too?
No.
United Methodist. My father's mother, my granny, she had us in the church, like, all the time. I was baptized as a baby. Like, I did everything. I was, like, an acolyte in the church. I don't know. I don't think Baptists
have... Dive deeper. What is that?
Okay, so acolyting is, like, Methodists, we would, like, light a candle and then have, like, I forget what it's called. God, I ain't been in church in forever. But we would light the candles, call it, like, bringing the spirit into the building. So we light the candle and, like, walk up the aisle and light the candles that's on the offering and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I would do that. It would be two people with the candles and one with the Bible. I held the Bible. I had like little steps. I held the Bible, then I did the candles. I've ushered. I've been on the choir all my life. All my life.
Soprano?
Alto.
You weren't as talented as me.
Whatever. We praise dance, read scriptures. We did, like, ran the children's church. And
that sounds tiring.
I know. Saturday morning, we would have to get up. Like, Granny played no games.
Sounds like a full-time job.
Right? Granny played no games. Saturday morning, we'd get up.
Sunday, regular church. Monday, Bible study.
Wednesdays was on Bible study, yes. And then every Saturday morning, we had to get up. Get our breakfast, clean up the house, and we had to go to the church, choir practice, then we had to clean the church. Like, it's a family church, and we were really into it, so. Sheesh. Yeah, I remember, 14, I got baptized again, like a born-again Christian. I just like, kept seeing these people going up to the altar, and I was like, yo, Granny, I want to do that.
Is there one? There's another one.
Yeah, that was me. So I was like, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus. Like, that was me.
All right.
Very active.
Nice. I feel like same path. Grew up Baptist. My grandma was like the deaconess. My granddaddy was a deacon. I was in the choir. I was an usher. Junior trustee. Like, I did the whole nine. I even went back 1 year and spoke, which was wild. But, you know, a lot of time spent in the church, vacation Bible school.
Oh, yes. Those are the best, though. Yeah. Like,
It was. You used to play hide and go get it in the church.
It had so much fun.
We had it. Oh, my God. Y'all some heathens. We didn't do that.
Y'all ain't hope either, y'all. Did y'all? No?
Y'all never had the lockdowns?
Nah. They played no games.
That's where they shut the church down and everybody stayed at night.
Now, we used to go to Morris College, though. That was our lockdown. So, like, all the Baptist churches would go to Morris College over the summer, too. Like, it was like, right after Vacation Bible School. Like, talk about, like, all the Baptist churches in, like, the southern region. And it was, like, the lockdown on that. Yes. And we stayed in the dorms, so.
Oh, yes. Lord.
Wow. Yes. I remember visiting a lot of Baptist churches growing up.
Yes. So, I mean, that's my upbringing. My mom, my grandma, my grand, like, everybody just in the church, so.
Well, for me, it's pretty much the same. My mom was raised Catholic. So she actually, like, growing up, her side of the family kind of went towards Baptist in their, you know, older age when they decided. So my mom was always fairly free as far as this is your journey, you can find.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's side of the family, Jesus, 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 all day long. Pretty much saying like he was Monday, Tuesday. It's something going on at church.
At the church.
Friday, Saturday, oh, Jesus.
Wednesday, we had it was called Big Wednesday, where it was Bible study. It was like church because, like, the kids were separated. Uh-huh. And then they served food. It was like, it was just church in the evening.
Right.
And then I was on the choir.
Oh, I used to love me some revival. I love church for the performance. Like,
yeah.
Baptist church, I used to like going to Baptist church just for the music. Because y'all had like the best performances ever.
Yeah. But I was on the choir. We was called the Sunshine Choir.
Oh, yes.
Baptist
too?
Yep. My grandma, my great-grandma would pay us money at the church to sing. Like little church songs to her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of an incentive to go. My dad, he told me something when I was young that that kind of took me as a growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Was, you know, church is good, but the devil can be in the church as well.
Preach, daddy.
And so, but not to say that my dad doesn't go. He does still go. You know, he still has his faith and his belief. But it kind of opened my eyes to starting to see things in the church as I got older.
Mm.
But yeah, my from the moment I was born to my early teens, it was just nothing but Jesus.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
They put us like little performers. Like, oh my God, I had so much fright. Anytime I was on that stage or in front of the church, if I was reading the scripture, if I was holding the daggone candle or performing, I'm shaking like with fright. I hated it.
I'm like you though, John. I did go back. I performed a poem, spoken word that I did. And it's funny because the poem is actually called "Only God Can Judge Me." And so my aunt had saw it and asked me to perform it in the church, and it's not a religious as far as Jesus. Basically, the poem was, you can't judge me. At the end of the day, what I do is only one judge. So,
okay, big F you to the church.
Right. I'm hands down in the church, my man.
But I had to change it because I do drop the F-bomb in the poem.
Okay, big bombs, I'm about to say.
But I had to change it. But
for my granny.
The thing that really, I don't want to say tickles me, but what I found very intriguing was how they interpreted it.
Mm.
Was they didn't interpret it as how I wrote it.
Right, exactly.
Because they were viewing it under their faith, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But so yeah, so I haven't been back since.
I think the last time I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna do this. I'm in the church was a family and friends day. My grandma, I was like teetering away from it, and then my grandma's like, come on to family and friends day, and I was like, all right. And after that, I was like,
and you do it for your family. You never do it.
Yeah,
for yourself.
It's like tradition. Yeah. It's just tradition. It's like it's not really something that you did. Or I did for myself. Well, at least not my home church.
Right. Yeah, my home church is very weird.
Yeah, you know how weird it is? My church, shout out to Wesley Chapel in Camden, South Carolina. When we were growing up, we had two churches, like sister churches, and our preacher would go back and forth each Sunday to preach at both churches. So I guess they got, I still don't understand as an adult what was the purpose, but they joined the church and they couldn't get.
Because they was poor and they needed to combine.
Probably. Most likely, yes. But it was weird because it's my grandmother's side of the family and then my grandfather's side of the family. Their church, their both home churches came together and then they couldn't like figure out a name. So they just combined names instead of, we had Good Hope and then Wesley Chapel. So instead of picking a new name, they just combined them. And to this day, it's still Good Hope Wesley Chapel. Like, that's how bad they are. I forget where I was going with this. I don't know.
I got a story. It's like so off topic, but it's one of the last times that I went to church. But I used to be a caregiver for my granddad when he had dementia. So of course, you know, with that, people, they just come out their mouth sometimes. So at my home church, our new pastor is like Kevin Hart's height.
Ooh.
And so during During the fellowship, it's one of the best memories I have of my granddad, to be honest, though. During the fellowship, he was going around the church, and he was shaking, you know, hugging the ladies and shaking their hands, and he was just in his rhythm. So you're like, God bless you. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And my, when you got to my granddad, my grandad said, you're a little too young to be preaching. And he didn't even break his rhythm. He was like, yes, sir. Thank you for coming. Back to the topic. Do any of us still follow the same doctrine?
No.
Nah.
Absolutely not.
That's a hard no.
And I think for a lot of reasons, it's, you know, and I think now, like, where I am now, so I think back when I first decided, like, you know, what am I really doing, which was at, like, 22, and trying to figure out, like, where am I going, and does this make sense in my life, I just felt like after 22 years, the next 22 years, I wanted to do something different. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do the same thing that I did for 22 years again. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, you know, go to church and it's one book and we doing the same stuff every year. Like, I couldn't do that anymore. So for me, I was just like, nah, I got to do something different. And then in that journey, which I'll rewind. So my grandmother died when I was like 22. I was in college, and I'll never forget, I was sitting in a accounting class. And I just, like, literally, I was there, but I wasn't there. Like, my professor came to me and was like, he was like beside me, and I was just like in a whole nother world, because up until that point, my grandmother was my whole world. And so it was like, what am I gonna do now? And so when I tried to figure out what I lean on, that it just wasn't making sense to me. And then I remember, like, when she died and I was at the funeral, and like I literally cried the whole, from walking up the stairs to the family going to the front, sitting down, the whole entire service. So when the pastor came, you know, like you said, they come and they hug the family. Like, when I tell you, I felt like I could feel every person that came through's, like, whole body emotion. Like, I felt everything that they felt, right? So after that point, I was like, yeah, I don't think, you know what I'm saying, that this is what I need to be worried about. I need to focus more on myself, try to figure out, like, what's really out here. And so after that, it was just like full throttle, like I never looked back. And so from there, like, I realized that it's a program. So the program in church is that you're the think, like, if you're, it's your thinker, the doers, and the knowers. So the pastors never want you to be a knower. They always want you
speak
to
on it,
be the thinker or the doer, mainly the doer. Because you think about it, most people can't multitask. So when you go to church, you got your Bible, and the pastor's preaching, right? He's preaching from specific books. That's all you're really looking at. You take it, and then you get mesmerized, you get hypnotized, and it's almost like you forget the other parts of it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, when you go home, and you're like, somebody be like, well, how was church today? Oh, it was good. Pastor, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you can't really dive deep into it because you're so mesmerized about what's going on, what he's saying to you, but not really taking advantage of what's really in the book. And so once I understood the program, I was just like, you know, that shit's some bullshit, basically. You know what I'm saying? In so many words. But, and again, not to be disrespectful to anybody, but once you get to a certain point in your life and you realize you can't do it, would you go to a therapist for 30 or 40 years?
The same therapist
for 40 years.
I hope not. I don't want to do too much of anything.
That's what I'm saying. So, you think about it like that. It's almost like the whole doctrine of, like, religion in general, not just Christianity. It's all of them, right? Yeah. It's like you being in first grade forever because
there's no ascension.
There is no ascension
or evolution. I it's funny that you say that because, one, your grandmother's death prompt you to question your beliefs, and like I can relate to that because it was my mom's death that did the same for me.
Death does something to us, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. When my grandma died, I felt like, okay, once I got past, I was like, you know, death ain't gonna be as hard the next time. But then my aunt died.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other aunt died. And I'm like, yo, this shit is something that it's like we've been taught what death is, right? But when it really happens to us, it's something different that sometimes we can't handle. And it was tough though. It's really tough. But death does something to like our mental.
It's traumatic.
I don't know if it's like our parents or our grandparents like ascending to us like, yo, like, do something different.
Yeah, because it seems like when death happens, I know for me personally, I would have thought that my religion was going to be the one that got me through, and I was like the furthest from the truth.
Right.
If anything, it made me even more insane or pissed off. Like it pissed me off. Right. Honestly, if I have to describe the words, and the feeling, it pissed me off because I thought that this thing that I was taught all of my life, when I say all of my life, like I was connected to, I remember the first time I actually felt God as a child. My first CD my dad bought me was Kirk Franklin's New Nation. And I remember listening to one song and getting so engulfed in the spirit. And I was like, the spirit, yeah. And I was like, hold on. Where is that when I needed it the most?
And the other part about death, and like people try to say like, oh, they're in a better place. And I never forget, like the only thing I could think is that the only better place for my grandma to be is fucking here with me.
Right.
And so, you know, that made me even more upset. So that made me go and like study and like research and look. And it's
and
just
it
like.
And it didn't, the equation, and nothing added up.
B-U-L-L-S-H-I-T. How about you, Trey?
I mean, we talking about death, but I mean, I understand exactly when my grandma, and it's kind of eerie to me,
right?
Because my grandma, we knew. Mm-hmm. I went and saw her the day before she was in hospice, and she suffered for a long time because my grandma was a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
So,
most black women,
exactly
when she first was on her deathbed, you know, triple bypass. You know, nobody was ready.
Right.
So, and God was just like, I can't. Mm. If I take her now, I don't know what's going to happen to this family.
Wow.
So she stayed. And when she passed, my cousin called me. And my cousin was like, my brother, like, you know, my siblings, like my oldest sibling now is like 12 years behind me. So I kind of grew up only child up until then. So he was like my brother. And I was on the way to one of my aunt's weddings. And he called and he told me, yo, grandma passed. And I wasn't there for the wedding. Like, I was there just like you. I was
physically
there for the wedding.
I mean, the funeral?
And no.
Oh, the wedding.
The wedding that I went to. And I just left. Like, I didn't go to the thing, but I'm like, I'm not going to miss. Like, it's my mom's baby sister. I'm not going to miss her wedding. When she found out, like, she hugged me. She said, thank you for being. I'm so sorry. But, you know, and his death was, like, a couple years later. And he was 23. And his mom called me. And when I was at his funeral, like, we've talked about this before. Like, I don't go to grave sites. Like, I don't do that.
Right.
I have my grandma, him, my granddad. Never been to a gravesite. You don't go to the burial. That's too final for me.
Right.
But when I was in the car, my aunts, who are all born again, were like, you have to believe in Jesus. Like, this is going to make you stronger. And it's like, no, it's not.
It's not making me stronger.
Like, this is my best friend.
Right.
He's not here. Like,
right.
When I go somewhere, like, Britain, my cousin, who's every show, she's there. If I do something, that's him. He he might not be on time, but he was, you know, when they say it's a on time guy, when he come, that's him. He was going to, if he wasn't there for the rest of the show, he's going to be there when I stepped on stage. So it was like I was losing one of the people who had my back from jump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never had to question it. So for you to tell me that this person who I've never met
right.
and who's not giving me, he's not bringing him back to me. Or giving me no tangible nothing. Like, it just was like, let me see for myself.
And I remember the first time I actually questioned religion. We were kids. We were like maybe middle school, high school, and we had a new preacher. And one of the moms, she was doing children's church, and she asked. It was first Sunday, so we had to do the bread and wine. Y'all do that in Baptist?
Communion.
Okay. Yeah. So
first Sundays.
Yeah, she was like, you know, you don't have to. She was telling. She was like, y'all don't have to do communion. And we was like, what you talking about? My aunt and my grandma said, we got to do communion. Like, fuck you mean? We can get in trouble for you later. She was like, no, if you haven't forgiven, you're not asking for forgiveness, there's no need for you to take communion.
Right.
And I remember it was like, of course, you don't tell me something like that, because I'm going to do it in contrary, Vic. What? I don't got to. All the other kids was like, and then I was like, I'm the oldest out of my grandmother's grandchildren. So they were like looking at me, and I was like, fuck communion. I got some shit going on in my life right now, like in middle school. I wish I had those problems now, but I don't feel like I need to ask for forgiveness. So I went up there, and my aunt, I remember my aunt and my grandma was like livid, because my grandmother and all her sisters go to the church. They was like, what the fuck you mean? Y'all ain't doing communion. Like, y'all got to. Like, what? And after that, I started taking like bits and pieces and whatever was personal to me, and then I applied it. But other things, it just didn't. I started to question more. But then they kept telling us like not to question God. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't have anybody to reach out to and ask these questions.
But
I had.
That's a part of the program. You know, religion is control. So
very much so.
Even if you like look back into like some of the books, and I know we won't have time this first time, you know, maybe if we do a second one, we can dive a little deeper like into the books. But you just think about in the beginning, like nowhere does a man create anything, as far as life doesn't come through a man. So you look at the whole context of, you know, what they talk about in the Bible, like, through Adam and Eve. Yeah. He says, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Like, that doesn't even make sense. And like I said, again, when you take it even further and you actually study the literature of how this all came about, then you see, and as a woman, this would, if people talk about Me Too, the Bible is the worst Me Too ever.
Yeah,
it's the most male chauvinist shit. Ever.
Like, women ain't had shit to say.
Exactly. Sit in the corner.
And see, that's what you learn when you look for yourself, because they're not going to teach that.
Exactly.
But when I heard at the beginning of the Bible, when it said God made man in the image of me, so I'm like, and then singing the songs, the programming, the singing the songs exactly. Every Sunday and having children's time and children's mm-hmm. church, and I'm like, hold on, Jesus is within me, so why wouldn't, I never got that concept even as a child. If God is within me, why am I not of God? Like, why I'm not a God?
That's it, though.
Why women's, if their perspective is not
exactly
included in this, why am I not, we're going to get all the way into this, but why am I not capable of creating miracles and doing all of this also? I never grasped that.
That was the whole thing, too. Like, once I got to a point where, like, no matter what, you know, and, you know, the hardest thing is telling your parents, right? Like, nah, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, my life a little different as far as, you know, I don't really. But, you know, our parents, they still pulling on us. Come on, come to church.
My dad to this day is Team Jesus. That's his tagline.
Right.
I'm like, Team Jesus, bro.
And so, it's like telling your parents, like, I didn't pass the ninth grade. You know what I'm saying? It's almost to that level where they're in so much shock and disbelief that it's devastating to them. And so for me, like,
they take it personal.
Exactly. What did I do wrong? Like, but it's not about you. And so at the end of the day, once I realized, like, hey, this program is way deeper, because when I look at the program and I look at my people and I see how much influence this program has on them, it hurts my heart, because I know that there's so much more out there than just this program.
But I mean, like you guys were saying, there's so much anti-woman in the Bible. Mm-hmm. the Bible also never condemns slavery.
Right.
So that's what the white man used on our ancestors to make sure that they were obedient.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know,
and you have to be obedient when it comes to religion.
Exactly. Right. And so that was one of my biggest, like, that had me veering away is the fact that we were not brought, we were brought Christianity by the white man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that our African ancestors
believed in. Enslaved, murdered, raped on the bounds of a book, on this book that was brought over here. And like I say, it just hurts my heart because
you'll
if you look at the...
You'll get over it. I promise you will, because I was there too. I was like, I have to save my people. And then I was like, no.
Oh, yeah, no. My saving days.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
but it's still... Just to know that I know that there's so many people still in the program, really? It still hurts me. But, again, I still do my thing. But if you look at the demographic of church now, it's like it's almost 85% of women, though. There's a lot of women in church. And so...
What was that sci-fi said? You want a man that's with Jesus and Obama? Yo, those... Some of the women,
but
like...
But a lot of men only go... Because
of their wife. Yeah.
But then... For me, like, when I look at it, too, because I often visit, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I wonder if it's because women are always seeking, like, acceptance from the Christianity, and that's the reason why they're so high in attendance.
Right.
That they want that acceptance from the church, so they devote themselves to a religion that has never showed them any type of respect or authority.
Right, exactly.
And validation.
I mean, it's been, like, when I was growing up, there was even churches that wouldn't let women be in the pulpit.
Bruh.
I mean, you look at the Mormon church. They did. If you look at their ladder of, you know, their leaders, there's not a black person in there.
I dated somebody that was Jehovah's Witness, and they were like, women should not be preaching. And I was like, what? Yeah.
So it's like, and my thing, especially with Christianity, you know, now they're accepting of gays. They're accepting of...
They ain't got no choice because their choir director's gay.
But I'm just saying, like...
What the fuck you mean?
All of this stuff is, you know, why was this an issue then, now? Like, why is it changing?
You know why.
Money.
We'll talk about that later. But, you know, and that was...
You got to say.
That right there was my biggest... The biggest thing that veered me away from Christianity is the lack of consistency.
Right.
The church as a whole is based on hypocrisy. The meaning of adultery is basically cheating when, in essence, you can get divorced, and in the Bible, that's adultery. Getting remarried, that's adultery. The act of marriage now in the church is a man and a woman. When in the Bible, it was polygamy. It was pretty much everything.
Right.
Gays. You know. It's gays in the Bible.
Yeah. Sodomy was not. Right. It was never in the Bible. It was never said as you couldn't do it.
Right.
You know, it was just your views based on what you want to believe at your church. And a lot of people, it's like, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, but so is this.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, the whole program and the mental suppression of people is what really changed my whole thought process. Like, I've been in churches where, you know, T.D. Jakes came to speak, and this mug get up and say, if you want a blessing, put $77 on the stage. And it's like, you know, stuff like that. It's like, what more do you need for them to say to you for you to realize that this is just a game? This has nothing to do with you being closer, this person being, you ain't this much closer to God than I am. We all the same level of closeness to God. And I feel like because our people have been mentally fucked, that program is easy for them. It's easy for somebody to pull somebody off the street that has nothing. And then those people that have nothing will give them their everything.
You ain't lying.
And like, my homeboy was a pastor, right? And me and him, we were laughing one day. And he was telling me, like, why he quit. Why he quit was because he realized that it wasn't about what was in the Bible. Because he went into it like, you know, I'm going to do good, I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. But when he got into the game, he realized it wasn't about that. He realized the whole structure of it, wasn't even about what was in the Bible. So he was like, nah, I can't do it. But then when he got out too, he realized that it's all bullshit, man.
Yeah, I remember being broke in my early 20s, and me and my kid, my husband at the time, would travel from Camden all the way to Shot Road to go to Bible Way. Shot Road to go to Bible Way. And I remember when we were trying to join the church, and it was like, oh, you guys aren't married, so you can't join the church together. I was like, wait, we live together, we have kids. Like, what do you mean we can't?
Because you have to be part of their structure.
Yeah, it's like, what do you mean? Like, bitch, I'm traveling like 45 minutes just to come to this damn church. You better let me join this thing together. And the reason why I left and I renounced Christianity is because of my mom's death. Because I was devoted. I read the Bible. I went to church every Sunday. I did all of this and prayed and everything that I was supposed to do. And then I was like, hold up. My mom still died. What the fuck? Come on. I thought you were supposed to be creating miracles, Jesus. What happened?
Right.
What happened? I totally stopped communicating with God. I got disconnected.
Right. Well, I think that's the whole misunderstanding, because we were taught something so early. Mm-hmm. So right out of the womb, we were like, boom, Jesus.
I'm a baby.
And not really understanding who God is. When you look in the mirror, like, that's God. Right. Like, you, it's already in you. I'll never forget, like, I watched The Matrix maybe, let's say, 8 years ago. I remember watching it the first time, and I was like, man, that shit's stupid. But when I watched it and really watched it the first time 8 years ago, it really made me understand, like, what it is. Like, it's already in us. But we weren't programmed that way in the beginning.
To believe that. We always were programmed to look outside ourselves to save ourselves.
Morpheus is, in, you know what I'm saying? We put it in the structure. It's like, if we as Christians, we look at it like we're Neo looking for Jesus, which is Morpheus. So, but Morpheus telling us,
I'm
looking for you. Nigga, it's you. So, I feel like we just don't understand
that. I need
to
watch that movie again.
Oh, man. Yes, you do. And the whole... It talks about the whole world as far as, like, the machine. Like, you think about the machine when it comes to everything. Medicine, everything. School, how they teach us. Like, that's the machine. Because it doesn't stop. Because you got the teachers that go to school to teach a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. You got the doctors that go to school. So even if something wasn't right. So even if they said something on TV and they said, oh, well, a virus does this and this and this. And the doctor was like, oh, nah, it don't work that way. They wouldn't say that because they're part of the machine, man, because they know.
Speak on it.
It'll be over for them, right?
They told my grandfather that he was supposed to die like 20 years ago. My grandfather was kicking. Like, they wrote him out.
Right.
This man jumped off a fucking bridge to try to kill himself. He drunk himself into like a psychosis, and his liver was fucked up. It's like, oh, he only has a few months to live. They could live like 20 years afterwards. The doctors did not know. They had no say so.
They whatsoever. Do just like us, though.
Educated motherfucking guests. Exactly. That's all they do.
That's it.
You went to school for 10 fucking years just to give me an educated guest.
Right. And that's the part, too, that frustrates me, too, about medicine, because my aunt recently, probably last year, October, she died of cancer. She had it in her back, right? Mm. So she had been going to the doctor saying, hey, you know, my back hurting. We'll give you some pain medicine. You'll be fine. Like, 2-3 years. Finally, when she was like, forget it. Like, I got to go to like a specialist. She went, had already, what's it called? Amastatized into her bones. Yeah. And so they were like, well, we got to do surgery. And so I was looking at her. They called me. I'm in D.C. They called me. She's in Baltimore. So my cousin's like, yeah, you need to get here. You know, we're going to have to do emergency surgery. So I'm talking to my aunt. And she was like, yeah. She started telling me all these stories. And I'm looking like, yo, this is wild. So I was like, well, do you want to try some alternative type stuff? Because mind you, my aunt's like 68. She was like,
you're still young.
Exactly. And I'm like, auntie, I don't think surgery. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, nephew, I think it is. And I'm like, I don't think so. You know, cutting you wide open at 68. So they end up doing it, and it changed her life. Like, she was never
the
same. Right, for the worse. And so I just know. And the doctors came in and talked to us and went down this whole bullshit hole, and it's just
and
like
that's the part of the program they give you such blind faith, exactly. Like you don't even question shit, right. Because you think Jesus got you or right. God got you, yeah. And it does not work like that. Right.
My aunt's last text to me was like, I'm waiting on my chariot, because what happened was she had the surgery at like 6 o'clock. I was having the surgery at 6 o'clock the next morning. So she texted me at like 5 o'clock and was like, I'm waiting on my chariot to come. And I'm like, hell no, auntie. Like, I texted her. I called her, but she, you know what I'm saying? They had already taken her back to the back. But I did probably like 100 miles an hour to Baltimore. But you know what I'm saying? It's just the programming of us too. It just takes over every aspect of our life.
It doesn't register. Like, logic gets thrown all the way right. out the window. That's why it baffles me. Like, you have such blind faith, but then will not even question man. Like,
exactly.
What?
Exactly. Okay, well, this is, since we're talking about questioning man, right. This was, you talked about this when we first started discussing religion.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was a man.
Right.
And the whole Christianity faith is...
What was he?
It's about Jesus. Jesus is... That's who you have to accept as your Lord and Savior. And it's like Jesus and God on the same level. And it's like, if... Let's say he was to come back for the second coming. Would you believe some dude was Jesus?
Exactly.
So why do we have so much faith to worship another man when in the Bible it tells you, put no man before me?
Right. Well, we have to go even further back than that, and to understand that Jesus himself was made up by the Roman Empire. Roman Catholic Church made Jesus up.
They made Mary a virgin. The Immaculate Conception. She
nah.
But I mean,
she got busy with one of them black kings by that. Like,
but I'm saying that's the thing. If this stuff happened she today,
got raped, actually,
there would be so.
Let's be clear what that was. That was child porn. That was child porn. She got raped by one of those African kings. That's why Jesus had the hair full of wool.
If
but
it happens
Mary
today,
was Caucasian.
You know, the girl would be on Dr. Phil cool. or Maury, and everybody would be no, you're not pregnant. You know, you had so if. Why are we believing this one story?
Mm.
You know, and then even in the Bible, Jesus was kind of a dick.
Right.
You know,
in the beginning.
He was walking and he saw a fig tree and he was hungry. And since it was out of season and didn't have figs on it, he cursed the tree to kill it.
Right.
He killed pigs because his demons wouldn't get moving, like, in front of a cave. He would, like, go there and all the pigs jumped and committed suicide. Like, how is this supposed to be a next level God? Like, how?
Oh, God is already petty. The Christian God is already petty. Like, how you jealous?
Right.
Those are human traits. Those are human feelings. Right. How can you be
but
jealous?
But that was my biggest thing, was why are we
but you know all you
man?
You are all, like, you are everything, and you jealous too, nigga? You sound like a nigga to me. Like, you got everything, you still mad. Right. Like, I can't.
But that's my thing, is why are we putting a man on that pedestal? Like, that's what I couldn't understand, is why the
y'all gonna get at.
It's not John.
John the Baptist.
It's not a, you know what I'm saying? It's not, you're not going to church to praise God.
Right.
It's always in Jesus' name, amen.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like when you Jesus help me. Like, Jesus take the wheel. No.
Jesus in
Jesus
my church.
Jesus got crucified. He not coming back.
I remember my uncle died, and I went to the funeral, and I sat there and, like, watched everybody, like, and I was like, Jesus and God was interchangeable. And
exactly.
I was like, I don't know who y'all, that's what, when people ask me to, let's pray, I'm like, I don't know who you're praying to.
But then they
whoever
say, you know,
you're
praying
to might not be who I'm praying.
They also
don't
say
me.
Jesus had brothers.
Right.
So she couldn't have been the virgin. He had a brother named James.
Well, Jesus was the older brother.
No, he had an older brother named James.
I ain't knew that.
Yes.
You've been in church all these years.
I ain't know about Jesus' brother James, bro.
You know what I'm saying? It's so much stuff that they tell you, but then they don't tell you.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, they don't tell you, you know, they said Jesus was a carpenter. No, Jesus was a servant. It says nowhere
Jesus
in the Bible.
Jesus was a magician, too.
But they said, you know, like, and this is my thing. You can
but
perform
you scared of magic.
You can perform miracles.
What is a miracle?
But if you can perform
magic.
A miracle, if I can make you, if you were blind and I can see, why am I spitting in your eyes?
I can't say the word incarnation.
But then the other story about when he went into the church and they were like selling stuff and he flipped the tables. It says in the Bible, Jesus flipped the table. Why is he that angry?
Yeah, the flea market at the church.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, for someone to be of God.
Because he been drinking that wine. What you
that he been making out of water.
Right. That's what he
but it's just like, why is this person who's supposed to be the son of God having these traits that's not Christian, like, if that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, they'll never question that though, because you're taught not to question anything, so you just, it's blind faith, like, you just go in faith and you believe.
Nowhere else in life,
believe is lie,
right? And nowhere else in their world they do that but Christianity. It was just like, okay, Jesus is going, like, oh, I'm a like, I was watching Boomerang and dude was like fasting and they were bugging off him because it was like, you need something more than just Jesus. Like, you got to eat. Like, you a person. Like you can't sustain on Jesus, my dude. Right. Like, right. But it's wild. It's wild.
Right. And like I said, man, it's just, it's tough that people just don't look into themselves. Like, you looking for it and it's in you already. And so, because of that program, though, it has so many people wound up. Like, you, in order to be saved, you gotta be lost. Yeah. So they gotta get you lost in order to try to get you saved. It's like going in the woods and mother be like, Trey, and you looking for him. You do that your whole life, fooling around with religion, trying to find that voice, when all you gotta do is just look inside.
Look
yourself.
Inside of you. We should talk about that.
It's like
all
home.
Right?
Home is where the heart is.
Right.
You don't have to find your way back home if you can make where you at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God is. God is going to be inside you. I mean, especially, you know how I feel about us. We are black people. We're God's creatures. Our hair goes to the sun. It rises. You know, it doesn't fall. I mean, it's just,
we're God.
Yeah,
people.
We're God. Like, we're goddesses and gods and goddesses. You know.
Yeah, I remember telling my ex girlfriend. I was like, yo, it's you, like, you know, I can say my back hurting. Motherfucker, you smile, my back stop hurting. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, y'all the queens, y'all are the gods of the earth. Women are. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why it hurts me so when I look at, like, the church and I see women. And it's like, y'all already got that shit, yo. Y'all don't even got to do that bullshit. But
especially when it comes to, like, the link of mental health. Because my family, we did on the last show about mental health. Like, I remember having conversations. My aunt is very religious, and she struggled with mental health, like, most of her life, all of my life, at least. And I remember, like, she always talking about how I'm supportive of her, and it's only solely because of the work I've done for myself.
Right.
Like, I tried to tell her, it's like, you know, you have the ability inside of you. You cannot, you don't have to, you're looking for something that's going to validate you outside of yourself. Everything that you ever needed was already inside you. If you believe in God, you should know that God made you perfect and whole. So you're going, trying to find a man, trying to find a pastor, trying to find, and I'm not saying that mental health is not real. Believe me, I of all people know, because I've been sleeping and eating all this quarantine. And mental health is real, but a lot of it has, for me to, in order to overcome it, I have to take accountability for my life. And I think that it does our community a disservice when we try to tackle mental health and then try to find out other ways to subdue, like with drugs and sex, without eating, with all these other things, when you have the ability to heal yourself inside.
And I think that's my biggest thing, like, with therapists. Like, if I'm going to church and I'm giving you 10% of my monetary income, I shouldn't have to go see a counselor,
right?
And pay them $20 to $60 for a copay to do what you was supposed to be doing my entire life. Because you go to church and they're not going to talk to you.
Right?
The pastor's going to preach a sermon. What you get out of that,
if it resonates, or don't.
You might not be going through it that Sunday. But if you go to a therapist, that therapist is catered to you. They are there to fix what's going on with you.
So not even fix. It's supposed to give you tools so you can fix yourself.
So you, So their thing is to make you a better person in the end. Why do I have to give 10% again to something that only is going to make me feel good for 3 hours out of the week?
Speak on it.
Well, see, it's different because, see, at my congregation, we have about 5,000 people, and you're just a number. Mm-hmm. So we just need your 10%. That's it.
But and
that's it. Yeah.
My thing is
rewind and listen to me again online.
We're gonna get into it. Yeah, but we're gonna get into what you was wanting to get into. But money. When you look at what the Bible says about tithing,
yes.
Back then you had land, you had animals. Your sacrifice was not your monetary gain.
Right.
I mean, and now is we need even in COVID, like. We in quarantine and you cash got people. App. Yeah, Cash App.
Send that stimulus check.
Why?
You
why?
For real? No. The dude from Louisiana.
Stop
he
it.
He made a whole video about send your. It's a COVID. It's a stimulus challenge. Yeah.
But so it's like.
It's horrible.
You know, and the thing is, you asking for what the government asking for, basically. Right. Like, and.
My tax.
You know, and the thing is, we already. His people need their stimulus check. So if I'm living paycheck to paycheck and I still have to afford to give you money, like why can't my 10% be time? Because my time is valuable.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Trey, at this time, we don't give a fuck.
No, but I'm saying like my 10% should not be monetary. That's not how you should judge my generosity to the church.
Right.
My generosity, my 10% should be based on my time, either given to the church, given to the community. You know, just like if you have cooks there that cook for the kids or cook every Sunday, why is that not their 10%?
Mm-hmm. It's even deeper than that, though, man, because you just think about how church works. Like we said earlier, right? You got church on Sunday. You got Bible study on Wednesday. You got something on Saturday.
Fish fries on
Saturday. Something, right? So let's say if it's the pastor's appreciation week. So on top of my 10%, I give offering to that's on Sunday.
Give my goddamn time, like you said.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a whole big, like, when you start adding it up, man, it's crazy, man. My homeboy gave $25,000 to the church last year.
Shabbat.
$25,000 to the church last year.
That's damn near my fucking.
He can claim that.
Like, that's damn.
Right. No, they printed it out. They gave him the thing for the
father. That's damn near my daggone yearly income.
Yes.
$25,000.
Oh, yeah, because you're a woman.
Yeah, right. A black one at that.
And so, you know, so when you so have dirty. People like that in certain congregations, you know, the little people don't even really matter. We need more people like you to come to this church.
Yeah, and that's my thing. It's like, if I'm coming and I've been through something, I'm trying to find my way. I want to better myself. I need to stop. I need to get off drugs.
You need to testify.
Why I got to give you 10% of my nothing?
So we got to pay for these people to come
like
talk
I got
to
pay
though.
For you to pray?
I ain't got it.
But like I said, at bigger churches, though, it's a whole big production, though.
Oh, yes. It's like, I remember, by the way.
Oh, trust me. I was sitting in one of these big churches, and the floor was red, the stage was red, and the letters of the church was in gold. And I said, this is hell. That is what this is. Even the announcements was on a projector, you know. Like, it looked like a newscast. Like,
have you not been to Bible Way? Bruh.
It was kind of like, I'm not even calling. I'm not saying names of this church.
By the way, it's
they had
huge.
You know, like the musicians had like beats by Dre. Like, why? Like, this music is supposed to come from your soul,
it's a whole production.
Yeah.
Man. But that's how they get people and they hold people.
I love the production, though. I can't lie.
It's the singing and the shouting. It's like, listening to R. Kelly. You know, you get goosebumps.
Maybe
not R. Kelly, but you know.
When you hear I Believe I Can Fly. No. I can't. That's about it.
Hair braider is actually pretty bad, too.
R. Kelly and religion, we just like. I love the production, yo. That's
and
that Kudalani energy that be coming out.
And they understand
that. Shout, yes.
The pastors understand that. They understand that once they get people in that hypnosis, it's just like being hypnotized. Mm-hmm. But you like, yes, pastor. Amen, pastor. And it just, whatever mother can ask from you, guess what? You're going to do it because you're under that hypnosis. That and I understand it more because I understand how my grandparents were. They were under their hypnosis. Oh, Pastor said this. Oh, we got to do this because Pastor said this. And now, why young people aren't in the church is because the internet, because they can research. They don't have to be like, Grandma, well, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. And Grandma be like, don't worry about it. Jesus said, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the game has totally changed where the internet changed the game because if my mama don't know, I go to the internet. My teacher don't know, I go to the internet.
But you see, what you just said was like, it's a big thing mentally, too.
Right.
The internet has made us so instant gratification. Our attention span is low.
Right.
So when you go to church and you get that hypnotic, that feeling, it don't last long.
It doesn't.
Because the reality hits you.
Right.
You praise God, everything. And then you go on Facebook and you see somebody, your classmate died.
Right.
Somebody going through something. Oh, well, it's now my high is low.
Right.
I have to face what's really going on in this world. And so, yeah, I think that's one of the things is the short instant is we're able to get that information so quick. It's not just the book that they hand us.
Right.
You can go and you can look on the internet and you can study exactly. Okay, well, Pastor interprets it as this.
Exegesis.
Now, I'm going to go to what these scientists went back and they found and what they studied and what the true meaning was, you know, like, because the books of the Bible were all written by different people.
Right. Or a concordance. You can go to the concordance and it'll tell you something completely different than what the pastor was saying, or what he interpreted.
Hold on, what's the concordance? Speak on that vocabulary word.
It just basically breaks down certain words in the Bible. So from what it meant. So like you may read a word and it may, and right now it may mean.
But what it meant back then.
Right. Is totally different. And so like I said, you know, pastors now is like the exegesis. Like they speak like they knew what Jesus was saying or knew what the disciples or whoever was saying, and so they put it in their terms to reach you, and sometimes that's not right. It's not their invitation is incorrect,
and that's the thing. Like even now, they're still finding more gospels that were written,
right?
But they're not going to put them in the Bible of today.
Mm-mm.
Because it contradicts a lot. Like there's actually a gospel that was found that states that Jesus wasn't even on the cross.
Oh yeah,
he put somebody on the cross. That's how he was able to rise because he wasn't the person. And then one of the other lies in the Bible is if you go to a lot of churches,
mm-hmm.
especially Catholic churches and everything, they have Jesus nailed by his hands and feet. It's not possible.
Yeah,
you would fall.
Right,
you're grown up. Nails are not going to hold you up. Just like
say you're grown up.
I'm just saying the body weight of that. It's not possible,
Damien?
You know, and so it just, like I said, things didn't add up.
Yeah, even with the finding out that there was a woman, Lilith was before
Lilith, yes.
Eve, and I was like, hold up, I gotta be a descendant of Lilith, cause a bitch be wildin', like, Eve, I ain't no descendant of Eve, that bitch too submissive to me.
But they say that Mary Magdalene was a hoe, and that was never said in the Bible.
And it was Jesus' wife.
Yeah, so Jesus was gonna marry a hoe? A prostitute?
I mean, yeah. So.
But that's the thing. It's all about, just like he said, is making women seem like they're that.
Right, right.
And it's just, like then I said,
again,
it's too much.
Was Eve submissive? Because she the one was like, let's go over here and eat this daggone fruit, though. She was being
defiant.
That
was a horrible marriage.
It was. Anyways, not that girl's out there. I don't even want to go into the... It is what it is.
But I think that the deeper part of that whole story is the forbidden fruit was actually knowledge. And that's
exactly
what we lack when it comes to religion.
Because we don't want you to find the truth.
Right, the whole knowledge.
And that's what the whole thing... I was watching, I can't remember, it was a while ago, this like documentary on, like, me. I don't even remember which show. I just remember it was talking about the concept of the devil.
Right.
It was like in the serpent. It's like, you forget that, like, the devil knew everything that God knew because it was in heaven with God. So when the serpent was trying to get them to give knowledge, it was just that knowledge.
Right.
So, like, why was your God trying to keep that information from you?
Right. I mean, even in, like, Lucifer, like, what is that? Like, the light bearer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like stuff like that we don't know, but we look at the devil as, like, this
bad
person.
Let's end that right there.
Right.
Because I want to come back and talk about that.
Okay.
All right. So this is part one of our discussion. Join us next week for part two, and you'll hear the end of it.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.